Let us read the Bible verse for today. Today's Bible verse is Old Testament, 1 Samuel 30, chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. The Bible reading will be from verse 1 through to 10 and 22 to 23. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it. And had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him, and each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, "Bring me the ephod." Abiathar brought it to him. And David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them?" "Pursue them," he answered. "You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue." David and the 600 men with him came to the Bethel Valley, where some stayed behind. 200 of them were too exhausted to cross the valley, but David and the other 400 continued the pursuit. And now we jump to verse 22. But all the evil men and troublemakers among David's followers said, "Because they did not go out with us, we will not share with them the plunder we recovered. However, each man may take his wife and children and go." David replied, "No, my brothers, you must not do that with what the Lord has given us. He has protected us and delivered into our hands the raiding party that came against us." So that's the Bible verse for today. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we worship your precious name. This week also, we come before you, we worship you, and we pray. Thank you for this moment that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, that you are always with us and you will fill all our needs. And thank you that we can walk strongly in your protecting arm. Now, we are going to hear your word through the Pastor Ajoy. Lord, please teach us through David's actions what we need in our walk of faith. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everyone. So, there has been a great ensemble of the special music item, and they will also be playing in the Joyful Christmas concert on the 7th of December. And today's Bible verse, from today's Bible verse, I'd like to share the blessings of God that I have received. In an elementary school in the United States, they had a math class, and the teacher was trying to explain to a girl named Susie. She was trying to explain the subtraction, and she drew an apple and said, "Hey, Susie, listen. Let's say you have 10 apples, and if I ask you to give me 2, how many apples do you have left?" Susie answered, "10 apples? No, no, no," the teacher said. "Susie, think carefully. I'll ask you again. If you have 10 apples, I ask you to give me 2. How many apples do you have, Susie?" She had tears in her eyes and said, "It's 10 because I love apples. I'm not going to give it to anyone else." So it's kind of cute. So it's common for kids. They don't want to share with anyone. But I think as she grows up, she will learn the joy of sharing with others as she grows up. So this was the story about the numbers of Susie. And today's Bible verse also teaches us the importance of sharing the grace that you have received through the actions of David. First, let's take a quick look at what has happened from the last incident with Nabal and Abigail up to this today's chapter of chapter 30. So, Saul repents and keeps quiet for several years after the forgiveness at En Gedi. But then he tries to kill David again after that. And then at the hill of Hakila, David again forgives Saul. And Saul repents again for the second time. But David, he decides to leave Saul and hide in Philistine land, which is the enemy land of Israel. And David went to the king Achish of Gath in the Philistines. And he stayed there as a loyal servant to the king of Philistine and stays there. But however, having gained Achish's trust, David is ordered to join the battle against Israel because he was so trusted by the king. But of course, David, he cannot fight his own people, so he was caught in this dilemma. But just in the nick of time, God intervenes. The other Philistine kings protest to the idea of taking David to the battle against Israel because David was the mighty warrior of Israel and he might betray them. So they didn't want David in the army. And David was relieved that he didn't have to fight with his own people, and he went back to where he was in the place of Ziklag, where he was settling with 600 men. And there, today's incident occurs. Today's message title is "The Grace by the Bessel River." I have 2 points. For the first point, I would like to take the overlook of today's story as a whole. So the events at the Bessel Valley. So when David and his men returned to Ziklag, something terrible had happened. Someone had burned down their camp and taken all the family members away. When David and his men returned, they were in despair, not knowing who had attacked them. And both David and his men broke down in tears. And these 600 men had nowhere to put their grief and anger. So how did these men react? And how do people react at times like this where they have nowhere to put their anger towards? So in our house, we have 2-year-old daughter, and once this thing happened to her. So she had made a mess out of her toy, and then she tripped over one of the toys that she had made a mess out of. And filled with shame, pain, and regret, what did she do? She turned to me, and then she punched me suddenly. So she didn't have nowhere to take out her anger, so she just took out the anger on me. And I guess you have the same kind of experience. You had nowhere to bring your anger, so you just attacked someone close by. And in this verse, the same thing happened. 600 men, they directed their anger at David, who was their leader, and they were about to kill him, it says in the Bible. But David, what did he do? Although he was in the great sadness, he turned his eyes towards God, and it says in the verse 8, David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them?" "Pursue them," he answered. "You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue." And through this revelation that was given to David, how did 600 men react? They also stood up and went with David. Perhaps seeing David's confidence, they decided, "Let us unite together under this leader once again." So everyone, though they didn't have the idea of who took their family away, they took the faith, a step of faith. And then David started to think, where did these unknown raiders came from? So they had returned from the north. So it couldn't be north, and it couldn't be east, which was Israel's territory, nor the west, which was Philistine territory. And the remaining possibility was the south. So now, they went towards south, and when they made it towards to the vessel of barley, one problem happened. Verse 10, 200 of them were too exhausted to cross the valley, but David and the other 400 continued the pursuit. So the 200 men were unable to cross the valley within David's army. So if you think about it, the soldiers have traveled 75 kilometers from Aphek to Ziklag. And then from there, they also traveled 24 kilometers south to where the Bessel Valley was. So they had gone 100 kilometers nonstop. And some of them has reached their limits of the physical strength. And how did David treat these 200 men? He decided to let the 200 men rest over there and cross the river with 400 people who were still mobile. But God has prepared a help for him. There he found an Egyptian lying on the road. David gave him food and some drink, and he took care of them. He was in a hurry and he had to go quickly, but he showed the mercy in the midst of uncertainty. Then, when that person gained some strength, they asked him, "Where did you come from?" And he said, "I am a young Egyptian, a slave of the Amalekites. I was left behind because I got sick. We burned Ziklag with fire." Here, now the full picture of the raiding party is revealed. It was the Amalekites who attacked their family. These Amalekites had been making their living by raiding the other people. They had been almost wiped out by Saul decades ago, but in few decades after that, they had regained their strength. Then David, with the Egyptian's guidance, he found the location of Amalek, and they enter into the fight. Verse 17, David fought them from dusk until the evening of the next day. So for the whole day they fought. After traveling 100 kilometers, they kept fighting for another whole day. Where did they gain this strength from? We can only assume that they were given the overwhelming power of God. And David and his men win the battle over Amalek, and they recovered his family and livestock that Amalek had taken, and also got the plunders from them. And when these 400 men return to the 200 men at the Bessel Valley, they report their overwhelming victory. However, some of the soldiers who fought looked down on the 200 soldiers and said, "But all the evil men and troublemakers among David's followers said, 'Because they did not go out with us, we will not share with them the plunder we recovered. However, each man may take his wife and children and go.'" So they argued, "We cannot treat these 200 men who were resting the same as those who risked our lives in the battle. So we should return only our wives and children, that family. But we shouldn't divide the plunder among them. So it's kind of, it makes sense. It is a value system that wages. But David said, "No, my brothers, you must not do that with what the Lord has given us. He has protected us and delivered us into our hands, the raiding party that came against us." David called out to them kindly and told them that the victory today was from the Lord. And he also said, "Who will listen to what you say? The share of the man who stayed with the supplies is to be the same as that of him who went down to the battle. All will share alike." So this rule that David has said became the law of Israel afterwards. But for us, we can kind of relate to those in the verse 22 where they said the wages should differ according to the amount of work done. It's the same with the values of this world. So those who work more should have more rewards, and those who are resting should have less. However, David showed a different kind of value. It was the value system of the kingdom of God. And today, I would like to think about this value that David showed. So this is the second point, thinking from the grace that David showed to the 200 people. So first is about the salvation. When we see this incident of David, it reminds us of the salvation God has given us. The Bible teaches that the salvation by the cross of Jesus is given to us like this. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." In other words, works are not necessary to gain salvation. Salvation is a one-sided grace from God, given by faith. So this is the message of the Bible regarding salvation. But when we say we don't need any work, it is only by faith of cross that we are saved, it doesn't make sense for many people. And that is because, like the soldiers in this passage, they believe that if you work more, you will have more rewards, and they have this value system of this world. And if you think about it, the society in which we live, we are evaluated by our actions and works. From our early age, we are evaluated by what we can do and what we cannot do. So when we succeed in something, we are commended. When we are failed, we will be told off. And then there comes the Bible and says, you don't need any works for the salvation. You will be saved by faith. It doesn't make sense because it's different from the system of the world. So rather, it is more easier to understand that you are saved by works and effort. It makes more sense. So there are many religions in the world, and almost all of them teaches the works as a condition of salvation. And it is very easy to understand and accept it by many people because it is the same as the worldly system. And there are also Christian groups that are called heresies. And the crucial difference between the heresy and the orthodox teaching is that they always teach that works are necessary for salvation. Not only faith, but you also need work. That is what the heresies teach. And that is easier to understand because it's the same as the world's value. So it is more attractive for some people. However, Jesus gave us the salvation of the cross as a one-sided grace, not by a work. The Bible says, anyone can be forgiven for their sins and receive salvation if they simply believe that Jesus Christ has solved the problem of their sins by the death on the cross and resurrection. So why did Jesus provide a way to be saved not by works, but by faith. It is to save everyone. If works were the standards of salvation, there would always be the people who would be left out, like children, elderly, those with mental weaknesses and illness. But Jesus wanted everyone to receive salvation, so He prepared the way of salvation through faith, not only those who fight in the front field of God's kingdom, but also for those who are exhausted by the vessel of barley and only can look after God. Jesus prepared the salvation by faith. So through the grace that David showed by the vessel of barley, we can remind ourselves of the grace of salvation. So considering that David gave the same rewards to the 200 people who did not go to the battle, the second point is people who gather at the church. So in the church, there are many kind of people and many kind of ministries. And there are some kind of people who are filled with joy and who appears to be in every ministry of the church. They are like the very super active people. And we often talk about like maybe they are twins or triplets because they seem to be everywhere. And we are kind of encouraged to see such people. However, they are also the people who are tired from various problems in life. Maybe they have busy life, family problems, child rearing, or could be addictions. And all they can handle is just coming to the worship service. And maybe they will think, I am not working for God in the church. I am not serving. Should I come to the church? They measure themselves by the worldly values and they kind of feel worthless and not needed in the church because they are not doing anything. But that's not true. The church is not that kind of place from the first place. In the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 and 21, it described the church like this. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. You know, the church is made up of various people, and each of whom is an organ that makes up one body with Christ as its head. So there is no one who is needed, just as no organ is unnecessary. That is the image of the church. So from this week, we can see the Christmas wreath by the cross. And this was made by one woman whose husband passed away. And she goes out to the forest and she picks up all the fruits and the other plants. And she makes this every year. So these trees and the fruits, they will rot away if they were left in the forest. But when they are picked up and put together by this woman, they form such a beautiful thing. And it's the same as us. We also, if we were left out there, we would have been waiting for the destruction. But God picked us up and God has put together in this church to show His glory. And there's some characteristics to this Christmas wreath. That is, each fruit cannot be missing. Every fruit makes up this wreath. Some of them that has color, some of them that are brown, they all have meaning in this art craft. And it's the same with the church. We have been brought together with God's plan. Each one has their own position and they cannot be missing. It's the same with the church. And there is another characteristic to the church. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 22. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Just as we need parts that seem weak in our body, we receive many blessings from our smallest parts. So it is easy to understand if we replace this with us. For example, babies can be said to be the weak organs in the church. However, babies and small children give us lots of blessings. So they are, when some people take the babies to the church, after the service, when I see it, it's like the ants gathering to the candy. People come to the babies. My wife doesn't like this example, but it's like the butterflies coming toward, attracted to the beautiful flower, and they come to the babies, basically, because babies give us smile and joy just by being there. And also, we can learn many things from those who have physical weaknesses. It's the same in the church, but it also, globally, there are people such as Tomihiro Hoshino, Ayaka Miura, Genzo Mizuno, and Lina Maria. With their physical disabilities, they have given us a great testimony. And we have also received much comfort and encouragement from the faith of those in the church who had illnesses and who had continued to seek God to the end, returning triumphantly to the heavens. In this way, we know from our experience that organs that appear weak and small at the first glance are actually the important organs. So there is no one in the church that is not needed in God's body, because we all are part of Christ's body. And if we see someone tired at the vessel valley, what can we do? We can support, the other parts of the body can support that body. Have you ever stubbed your little toe on the corner of a piece of furniture while cleaning your house? It hurts so much, doesn't it? So what do you do then? You probably crouched down, rubbed your hands around your little toe, and waited until the pain subsided. This is what the church is. If someone or some part is hurting, then the other parts that are not hurting will cover that part until that part regains strength. So let us also think about the missionaries and the support team from this grace that David had shown. So what were these 200 people remaining at Bethel Valley doing? What were they thinking? They must have felt guilty, but at the same time, they prayed for the safety of the wives and children, and they also prayed for God to protect them and strengthen the 400 who went for the rescue. And God answered the prayers of these 200 people. This is also the image of missionaries in the church and us who sends them out. Those who join the battle are the missionaries who actually go to the mission field, and those who stay at the Bethel River are those who support them in prayer and donation from this church. So we can hear the testimonies of missionaries and receive the share of the blessing that they have. So missionary Hiromi Soma is currently on a mission field in Oxford, in UK. And Hiromi is working to spread the gospel to local students. And it is often said the number of people saved in an year in Japan is the same as the number of people saved overseas. So it can be said that people's hearts are more open overseas, and the gospel is more easily accepted in places where Christian culture is deeply rooted. So Hiromi mainly leads the Japanese people, and they hold the dinner and the Bible discussion together. And it seems that the number of participants are increasing by the words of mouth. Hiromi says this: many international students participate in the Bible discussion event with dinner. When they come to abroad for the first time, they experience loneliness through the experience of leaving their families and familiar environments. I think that the gospel they hear in such situations resonates with them as something that truly fills the loneliness they are experiencing. And she also expressed her gratitude for the people who support her. When I returned to Japan 3 years ago, I was completely exhausted both spiritually and mentally, and I was afraid to meet the people. At that time, the pastor said to me, "Hiromi, please come back to Minamichi with peace of mind." As he said, the people of the church welcomed me warmly when I returned to Minamichi. The warmth of the people made me realize that this is a place where missionaries who have returned home feeling weary can rest without being blamed, a place where they can return to. Having a church where the weary missionaries can rest spiritually and mentally gives them strength to be bold in their mission works. Also, when I made oden and nimono with Japanese food that I received during my temporary return to Japan, I saw students eating them and saying, "It's delicious." I realized that we are doing mission together with all the prayers, financial supports, and Japanese food from each and every member of Minamichi Christ Church. There are times in my life when I feel culturally lonely, but the presence of support team and Minamichi Church has always been very important. My honest impression is that without this spiritual support, I could not do missionary work even for a day. I am grateful to the support team and everyone at Minamichi Church who work with me. Let us continue to support the works of the missionaries, just as those who remain by the Bessel Valley. So today, we considered about the grace David has shown to the people remaining at Bessel Valley. Let us remind ourselves of each of these grace. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this time of worship. Today, we considered about David, how he showed the same grace towards 400 men who fought and 200 men who remained by the valley. We remind ourselves of your saving grace. Thank you for your one-sided grace that saves us. No matter who we are and no matter what works we have done, we can receive it equally. In these situations where our works are valued, sometimes we lose the sight of your grace. But I pray that you will remind us that your grace is over our understanding. And Holy Spirit, help us to understand your grace. And thank you for this church that you have given us. And we are organs that form one body in Christ, and there is no one who is unnecessary, and we can receive lots of blessings through those who appear to be small and weak organs. If there is any organ that is hurting by the Bessel River, let us cover that person and let us share your grace with them. And also, we learn about how 200 men were praying for the others, and we reminded ourselves of the mission works. Let us be the ones who support the mission works and also share in the grace that they have. I pray for each missionaries who are sent to different countries. Please bless these works. In Jesus' name, we thank you for this time and we pray. Amen. Let us take some moments to pray in our own words. Let us pray for the blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you this following week. Amen. Now we would have